Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is from Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Mike. You can see that photograph on the PowerPoint. Any of you ever look like that at times? Especially when it's bill time or a lot of different situations can cause us to feel like that. We sit there with a head in our hands, worrying, fretting. How will we get through life? What are we going to do? Well, the young man was fresh out of business school, and he saw an ad in the newspaper the old days, for a job as an accountant. And when he went there, he said, I need someone with an accounting degree, but mainly I'm looking for someone to do my worrying for me. So I worry about a lot of things, but I don't want to have to worry about money. Your job will be to take all the money problems off of my back. The accountant said, I see. And how much does the job pay? He said, well, we're going to start you out at $100,000. The man exclaimed, that's a lot of money for a small business. How are you going to pay me $100,000? The man looked at him and said, that's your first worry. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could pay someone to do our worrying for us? It's amazing how many things we can find to stress out, especially during this week of Thanksgiving and the holidays, making cookies, baking the turkey, having family over, all kind of different situations that can cause us to stress out, and instead of enjoying the moment, we're caught up in worrying and fretting. Maybe those who are responsible for cooking for a large family, or you're entertaining your relatives, you can really find a way to stress out here at Thanksgiving. A woman tells about visiting her parents for Thanksgiving, and even though her mother was over 80 years old, she was determined to cook a Thanksgiving dinner for all the family. And after having spent the day preparing all the food, her mother was getting ready to go to bed, and her daughter noticed that she set her alarm clock for 4 a.m. And her mom explained that she needed to get up and turn the oven on at 4 a.m. and put the turkey in. And the daughter knew that her mother's stove had a timer on it. She could set the time and just go to bed and not worry about it. And she told her mother this. But her mother said, of course, but I've been getting up for over 60 years, 60 Thanksgivings at 4 o'clock to put the turkey in the oven. It just would not be the same if the stove did it for me. Don't you suspect this mom didn't really trust her timer? She would have been worried. She would have been fretting. Well, it won't come on. It won't work right. And then the turkey will not be cooked. And Thanksgiving dinner will be ruined. Anybody know a worrier like that? There's an old Irish poem by an unknown author that goes like this. It says, "Why worry? In life, there are only two things to worry about. Whether you're well or whether you're sick. Now, if you're well, you have nothing to worry about. And if you're sick, you only have two things to worry about. Whether you get better or whether you're going to die. If you get better, you have nothing to worry about. And if you die, then you only have two things to worry about. Whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. Now, if you go to heaven, you have nothing to worry about. Now, if you go to hell, you're so busy shaking the hands of all your friends and relatives that you have nothing else to worry about. So why worry?" The word worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning to strangle or to choke. While we need to be attentive to life's concerns, and we do, worrying about them chokes the joy out of life. Worrying is like driving a car with one foot on the brake and one on the accelerator. The wheels are spinning and a lot of rubber is burning, but you're not going anywhere. Or sitting on your front porch in a nice rocking chair. You're using some energy, you're doing something, but you're not going anywhere. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Gratitude is the perfect antidote for anxiety and worry. Looking over the total scope of your life, and I think it's a good thing to do, and not just what is going on at that moment. How has God treated you? How has your life been? There's an appealing story from Gene Webster's Daddy Long Legs. It's the story of a little girl that was placed in an orphanage. She was befriended by a person that she didn't know, and this stranger took a real fancy to her and provided for her during her life. But he never reveals his identity to her. And years after the favors flow in from an unknown friend, she passes through childhood years, and she's now through college pursuing opportunities in life by a friend that she's never met, by a name that she does not know, by someone that she's never seen. But one day, events allow them to meet, to come face to face. But she doesn't recognize him until they begin to talk and someone tells her what is going on. It does not look like she had imagined that he would look. But she finally learns his true identity, and she loves him because this is her longtime friend who has taken care of her from afar. I think that can be a parable for our lives and our relationship with Jesus. We can all think of times when Christ has blessed our lives. We may not have seen him. We may not have even felt his presence, but he was there with us, helping us through a very difficult time and situation in our lives. In our scripture lesson, Jesus points out that God has been and will continue to be extremely generous and loving to us. In his typical down-to-earth way, Jesus tells us to look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap, yet God doesn't let them starve. If God provides the most insignificant bird, don't you think he provides for his children, for us, whom he loves, who he cares for, who he gave his very life for, died on the cross for us? And the flowers, they don't fuss and they don't worry about what they will wear. God clothes the wildflowers. We don't even have to plant flowers for them to be there. But one day, they're here, and then they're gone. If God does that for something growing in the wild, surely God will care for them who is created, as Psalm says, a little lower than angels and crowned us with glory and honor. While we're upon this earth, we're a little lower than angels. But when we die and we ascend into heaven, then we ascend over even the angels. I think gratitude is the perfect antidote for anxiety and for worry. Gratitude, I think, keeps blessings flowing into our lives. Call it a self-fulfilling prophecy, if you like, but grateful people seem to attract more blessings into their life. A recent study found that people who jot down what they're thankful for each week are more optimistic about their lives, exercise more, even have fewer visits to the doctor's office. There's something about the spirit of gratitude that is healing to the body and to the soul. Gratitude allows for blessings to flow wherever where anxiety and worry choke them off. A person who experiences true gratitude seeks to be a channel of blessings and reach out and try to do good and say kind words and helpful things to other people. A truly grateful person cannot hoard God's blessing. A grateful person seeks to allow his blessings to flow through himself or herself out to others. People who are truly grateful want to pass those blessings on. But I think you already know that. You're here this day to give your thanks to God for the many blessings that you have in your lives. You have discovered that gratitude is the perfect antidote for anxiety. You have discovered that a grateful attitude causes blessings to flow into your life. And you have discovered that a person who experiences true gratitude seeks to be a channel that blessings can flow through to others. I think that we are a grateful people, first of all, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ and what he has provided for us here upon this earth and then for the life to come. So we give our thanks today. We say, thank you, God, for all the many wonderful blessings. And what I want to do, I did this a few years ago. We got plenty of time. I'd like a few people. Just, you can sit or you can stand right in your seat and just say one thing that you're thankful for in your life.
Friends.
Friends. Amen.
For my family, who's been such a help.
Great family, and had another family.
For our church.
For our church. Amen. Thank you, Meryl. She's saying thank you for being healed of cancer, for the strength to take care of her husband for so many years before he passed. Anyone else?
3 years cancer free.
3 years cancer free. Amen. Thankful for the junior church.
For my family's health.
Her family's health.
Thankful
for this church.
Church.
Thankful for his wife. That's a good thing to be thankful for.
Be thankful for my health, food on the table, and a roof over my head, and for you asking me to come down to church.
Thank you. Thankful for food, his health, roof over his head, and thankful that I invited him to come down to Glenshaw Valley Church. And thankful for me. I slipped that one in, yeah. We just knew that one already.
For
his wife and family, and for Mickey and the good music, and Lynn said, for Facebook bringing Mike and her together.
Thankful for the choir.
Thankful for the choir. Amen. They bring us such beautiful music, and really today, just outstanding.
For our service people for keeping us safe.
For our service people for keeping us safe. Amen. The messages I bring every week.
For the freedom to worship that we
have. Amen. For the freedom to worship that we have. Not everyone has it.
And
she's thankful for me. Thank you. Well, I'm thankful for each and every one of you, too. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Anyone else? Well, I want you to know that God is thankful for you. He's thankful that you have accepted Him into your lives, that you've chosen to worship Him, to serve Him, to spread His good word, to treat other people with dignity and respect, to help feed them and clothe them and minister to them. God is thankful for you. Amen.